Satan's job to get you to not merely be in the world, but to fall in love with it. Jesus made it plain in John 17, Father, don't take them out of the world. You can be in it, you can benefit from it, you can utilize it, but what he does say is you are not to love it. God does not want to compete with his arch enemy, the devil, because this world lies in the hands of the evil.
Today on the Songtime broadcast, we'll continue our series in the book of 1 John. This week, Dr. Tony Evans will explain to us why it's important for us to not love the world, to be drawn in by its temptations, or invest ourselves into things that are passing away. Stay tuned for that message. But first, it's a proverb a day in May. We'll be joined by author Anthony Salvaggio as we dive into his book that gives us wisdom, practical wisdom for our day-to-day lives. The many voices are coming together for that one message. I'm your host, Adam Miller. You're listening to Songtime Radio. Every year, we do our series, A Proverb a Day in May. We want to challenge our readers to read, wisdom literature and to get into God's Word, but Proverbs really serves in many different capacities, helping people get wisdom, helping people understand all aspects of life, and also learning how to interpret Scripture and apply it to various means of their life. And as is as a challenge every year, we want to bring resources that will help you to see how the book of Proverbs can impact your day-to-day living and your walk with Christ. It's a real privilege today to be joined by Anthony Salvaggio. He's written a book called A Proverb-Driven Life, Timeless Wisdom for Your Words, Work, Wealth, and Relationships. All of those topics, all in one book. It's really great to have him with us today. Anthony, thank you so much for being a part of the many voices for that one message.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It's a joy to be here.
How can people navigate the book of Proverbs? What's interesting about the book is actually the first nine chapters are not really Proverbs, they're more poetry, they're introduction to the book of Proverbs. And then you get into the Proverbs themselves by chapter 10, and it can be a bit of a labyrinth because you can try to make connection points and then you're talking about one thing and the next second you're talking about something else. It can be difficult, I think, for people to read through the book of Proverbs and make sense of it. What kind of advice do you have for somebody who's trying to do our challenge to read a proverb a day in May?
Yeah, I think that is definitely one of the challenge. And you're totally right to talk about the demarcation in the book, this kind of opening of, you know, almost a father to his son kind of, then it breaks up. And so what I try to do in the book is to kind of collate various proverbs under topical categories, headings. I think that's a helpful thing. I'm not certain I would want to be dogmatic about that being the only way to approach the book, but I do think it's helpful. It's a way to contemplate the body of what Proverbs says about a particular topic. And if you really wanted to meditate on, okay, what do I need to do in with my words or my relationships or my work or my wealth or, you know, in my family relationships, I think there is a benefit to doing that topical type of arrangement. But I also think it would be valid to say, you know, just to read it like you would from cover to cover, so to speak, as you would any other book. I think you could make that. And I'm certain there could be a critique of what I've done in as far as topical arrangement.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the things that's unique about it, especially if you are doing this thing of reading through just a chapter a day over the course of a month, if you do that 12 times a year, then you're probably going to find all of those topics at different stages of your life and different seasons in your life. And when you're reading a chapter a day, you're going to find things that are talking about your words. You're going to find things that are talking about wealth, and you're going to find things that are talking about relationships. Depending on where you're at, it really does provide you a sort of devotional that can give you some wisdom where you're at in the moment.
Yes. And I think it's, you know, for what you're talking about from a devotional perspective, it seems so uniquely suited for that because they are short, punchy, you know, types of, you know, little nuggets that you can digest in a devotional time. And they're also, you know, just so immediately applicable. And that's one of the extraordinary things about the Proverbs is how they hold up over time. And you think about that, it's extraordinary. When I look at the passages about wealth in Proverbs, and you think, here is this entirely different world. and here I am living in the 21st century. I'm living with Bitcoin and you're watching these bank failures, and like all of these principles are still there. They're still operating. They still work. And it's just this incredible thing of what God has built into the fabric of his creation, the structure and direction of that creation. So that's one of the things I think is Proverbs is great to use as a devotional. It's easy to digest, easy to apply, and it's relevant. It's easy to see how this works out in your life on a daily basis.
One of the things we like to do in challenging our listeners is it's a great way to get started. If you're not familiar with doing a daily Bible reading, it's a great way to get started because you don't feel guilty if you miss a day or you miss a couple of days. You can really just look at the calendar, read the corresponding chapter, and it's self-rewarding. But there's also something else that it stretches a bit of a muscle. This thing about wisdom is all about training, isn't it? And this allows us to stretch a muscle. Find that one truth that you're going to hold on to, you're going to meditate on throughout the day, and see how long you get throughout the day before you either forget it and have to go back and re-reference it. But see if you can make it all the way to the bed in the evening and still recall what you read in the morning. It's actually a really great way to practice what the book of Proverbs is actually helping us do, is to train us in wisdom and discernment.
You're so right. And that word practice is so important, because that really is how you become skillful with wisdom. You have to apply it. You have to use it. And you're not always going to be able to do it skillfully the first time. So it really does lend itself to that kind of training in righteous practice, that repetition of use. And so I totally agree with what you're saying about that approach.
Now, for our listeners who are doing this challenge, they're reading a proverb a day, they're working their way through this. This is not something that's going to happen probably from their first read through, is it? So what kind of encouragement do they need in the persistence of seeking wisdom and being attentive to her calling?
Yeah, so definitely saturate yourself with the word. Now, what you're talking about, doing this every May, that's a great idea. Just to keep going back to that. Keep going back to wisdom. I think that prayer has to be part of this, right? This is from James, right? Ask God for wisdom, and he gives these good gifts to us. God is the giver of wisdom, and if Jesus Christ is the one in whom is hidden all with treasures of wisdom and knowledge, if he is wisdom from God, then to have that pursuit of Christ in your life, and the blessing and filling of the Holy Spirit, to want to have this intimacy and relationship with the triune God. I mean, if you want to pursue wisdom, pursue God, right? It's, Jesus becomes the personification of that wisdom, the incarnation of it, in essence. So pursue God, read the scriptures, ask him for it, pray for it. And then, as you saturate yourself with this, actually try to put it into practice. Don't just say, I've read Proverbs. Take the stuff it says about how you use your words and put it into practice. You'll do it that day. You'll be typing that email. You'll be about ready to put that comment on Facebook or Twitter or something, or say something to your significant other, your spouse, and just kind of pause and think, hey, and in the book I talk about with words, to make sure your words are thoughtful, that they're timely, and that they're truthful, right? These kind of principles. And that's really what Proverbs says. And oftentimes, Proverbs says, with your words, shut up. Just shut your mouth. There's a kind of a bias towards silence. So maybe before you send that email, sit on it for 24 hours, or that comment, before you get tempted to enter into something, is this a good use of my words? And believe me, you'll be able to put it into practice. But if you don't put it into practice, if it's just something that is, again, that you're like, I listened to 5 podcasts about Proverbs, and I read the devotional by so-and-so about Proverbs, it doesn't do any good on the shelf of your life. It doesn't do any good in the recesses of just staying there in your brain. It has to come out in your life and apply. So I would just encourage, as you're doing devotionals, as you're coming to this, think actually about what I can do to put this into practice in my life right now. And believe me, there will be a way to do it.
We've been talking with Anthony Salvaggio. His book is called A Proverbs-Driven Life, Timeless Wisdom for Your Words, Work, Wealth, and Relationships. Obviously, there's so much more in the book of Proverbs, but you're going to have to get into Proverbs yourself. If you need a guide, I highly recommend this book. It's a great resource, and I know that many of you throughout this series, A Proverb A Day in May, have been asking for some helps and some resources. This is one I fully endorse. So it's a real privilege, again, to have Anthony with us. Thank you for being a part of the many voices for that one message.
Thank you for having me today.
If you'd like to find out more information about Anthony and his book, simply give us a call. It's 508-362-7070, or head over to our website at songtime.com. Well, today, as we're continuing our study in the book of 1 John, we're diving into 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Here, the Apostle John instructs us on not loving the world or the things that are in the world, how not to be drawn in by the temptations that this world has to offer, or to invest in things that are passing away. In this message from Dr. Tony Evans, he reminds us why this is such an important warning and why it deserves our consideration, especially on this month where we're considering the wisdom of the Word of God. Here is Tony Evans.
Do not love the world. So the first question we must answer is, what do we mean by world? So he's not talking about the physical place. He's talking about the spiritual reality located on the physical place. And he calls that the world. The world can be defined as that system headed by Satan that leaves God out. This world lies in the hand of the evil one. So the reason God doesn't want you to love the world is that his enemy runs it, because it is operated by Satan. So it's no wonder that he doesn't want us to love somebody that doesn't love him and actually doesn't love you either. It is that organized system headed by Satan that leaves God out. It is Satan's job to get you to not merely be in the world, but to fall in love with it. Jesus made it plain in John 17, Father, don't take them out of the world. No, he expects you to live in the world without loving it. You can be in it, you can benefit from it, you can utilize it, but what he does say is you are not to love it. God does not want to compete with his arch enemy, the devil, because this world lies in the hands of the evil one. And the evil one's goal is to get you to fall in love with the world. The Bible says in Romans 12, 2, be not conformed to this world. The word conform means to be pressured by it to exclude God. He says you are not to love this world. To love it is to seek its good over and against God's will. He says, do not love it, which means don't leave me out. Don't exclude me. Don't choose it over me when you are faced with a decision. Why? Why is it a big deal that God does not want you to fall in love with the world? He says there is a cost to loving the world, and that is the loss of the love of the Father. Please notice there are no exceptions here. If you love the world, you lose daddy. What he's saying is to love the world draws you from experiencing God's presence, love, and his will operating in your life. Galatians chapter 1, verse 4 says God saved us to deliver us from this present world. So he did not save us to fall in love with the world. He actually saved us to deliver us from the world while we are still operating inside the world. So the question is, do we really want the closeness of God we talk about, the answers to prayers we desire, or do we want the world? He says, do not love the world because you lose me. In fact, he said that more strongly in James 4:4. He says, friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God. So not only do you lose the experience of God's reality, you now join Satan in becoming God's adversary, even though you're God's child. Friendship with the world puts you at enmity, in conflict with God. So not only are we not experiencing God, we're in perpetual battle with God if you love the world. Today we battle with this thing of worldliness because we want the world to like us. When Jesus made it clear in John 15, verses 18 and 19, if the world hates me, it will hate you. Why should you not choose the world over God in terms of your love? He gives you three reasons. He says, for all that is in the world. You ever seen people who portray more than they really are? He says, let me tell you the real deal about the world we have so much propensity to fall in love with, and we're all drawn to it. He says, the three things that are in the world, he says, let me tell you them. He says, they are the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Everything in the world, he says, falls into one of these three categories. First of all, the lust of the flesh. Lust means to crave and to desire. He says, it is the craving for pleasure outside of the will of God. Either because the thing in itself is wrong, or the thing is right, but you use it in an illegitimate way. Secondly, the lust of the eyes. That is the illegitimate desire for possessions. Lust of the flesh, the cravings of the body. Lust of the eyes, the craving for stuff. Many who are sitting here today are drowning in debt because you had to have it. Because the Joneses have it. So we wind up spending money we don't have to get things we don't need to impress people we don't know. And then he says, there's the pride of life. That is the illegitimate pursuit of position. Position. So we connive to get ahead. We lie and cheat to be promoted. We hook up with folk who can advance us even though their value systems don't agree with us. Just so we can get ahead. Because after all, we know it's a dog-eat-dog world, and that ain't no lie. We know to get ahead in this world, you gotta compromise your values, you gotta compromise your priorities. You can't be a Christian and get ahead in this world. And so the boastful pride of life. You know why you shouldn't love the world? He says, because the world is passing away. And also its lust. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. He says, don't love the world because it's temporary. You loving something, that's going to leave you. Or you're going to leave it. You're falling in love with something that's going to lose its luster. It's fading. Know how excited you are when you got that new car? Had to smell, you had to keep it clean even when it wasn't dirty. Now it's dirty and unclean, and you think you need a new one, though it rides fine. Because it fades. But no matter what you do, this world is fading. Don't act like it's permanent. He wants us to live here, work here, play here, do all the things we do here, but with an eternal perspective. This world is fading away. In other words, don't love the wrong world. Because this is not the one you want to love. You want to love the world you're going to, not the world you're in.
As we bring our program to a close this weekend, I think it's a great way to bring our two themes for today into one conclusive conversation. We're obviously talking about 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, and this command to not love the world or the things that are in the world. And we're also talking today about a proverb a day in May. And obviously, this command is great wisdom, and Proverbs is a book of wisdom. So here's a challenge for you. We do this every single year, encouraging you to get into the book of Proverbs and to, in particular, understand the wisdom that it has to offer. There are 31 days in the month of May and 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs, so you can do the math. It's actually very easy. And it's also sort of guilt-free, because if you miss a day, you don't have to worry about it. Just look at the calendar and read the chapter for that corresponding day, and you will be blessed. It's a great way to work through getting familiar with the Word of God and a daily devotion, and also how to meditate on Scripture, and of course, the book of Proverbs. But the thing that ties in beautifully to our message today from Dr. Tony Evans is that this command from the Apostle John to not love the world reflects the sort of the temptations that this world has to offer. And the book of Proverbs opens up with two main characters. They're really stereotypes. The first is Lady Folly. This is the woman who tries to seduce us into all of the pleasures that this world has to offer, and offering them in a way that makes them feel like they're fine, that there's no consequences. They're very seductive in the way that they're presented to us. It's why John warns us to not be captured by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Lady Folly is the herald for that message. Come to all of these treasures and indulge in them to your heart's content. And we all know the danger of that path. But the second character is Lady Wisdom. And Lady Wisdom warns us against the folly of going down that path, but also reminds us to keep the commands that have been given to us. A major theme here in 1 John, to obey the commands that God has given us. And if we keep his commands, he remains in us. He abides in us. Some great wisdom from the book of Proverbs and tying into the book of 1 John. If we've been able to encourage you, I want to encourage you to be an encouragement to us. This is a ministry that is 100% supported by our listeners. The only way that we can stay on the air is because of your contributions. Consider giving back to Songtime by writing to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630, or you can give us a call. It's 508-362-7070. You can also head over to our website at songtime.com or look us up on social media. On behalf of everyone here at Songtime, we want to thank you for listening. From Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller with our theme verse, 1 John 3, 23 and 24. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us.